what's up, people? This is Reading Between the Times, a short and sweet podcast for busy people with a need to read. Hey everyone, my name is Madison, and today I'm going to talk a little bit about how to read when you are super cramped for time. If you're listening to this, you're probably a busy bee with a need to read. Congrats! You've already mastered the first step towards reading more, recognizing that you want to read more. From here, it will be all about finding what is right for you. Everyone reads differently, just as everyone consumes media differently. Your goal is to find what works best for you and what fulfills you the most. Whether that's finding 10 minutes in your day to read a quick bit from your favorite novel, or downloading an audiobook app to listen on your way to work, we will work together to find what works best for you. Boo-doo, boo-doo! Put a little transition here, let them write. Next, write down 3 genres you enjoy. This can be anything as simple as nonfiction to something as strange and nuanced as wuxia, a historical fiction subgenre focused entirely on the warriors of China. Music here. Boop-boop. Next, let's use those descriptions to find books you like. There are several ways once you have those written down. Move on to the next step, finding your books. My friend Erica here is going to tell me a little bit about their opinions about books. Erica, what do you think of when you think of books?
When I think about books, I think about things that tell me stories and that started getting me into stories. And stories are really, really important to me. So since books were the first ones to give me that, they're very important to me. Books come in all kinds of different forms. There's, you know, paper books, and like paper books even have like paperback and hardback. There's ebooks, which like is like, I can be like, oh, look at this. I have like 5,000 books and I can hold it all in my hand, which is crazy, especially because I'm a tiny little person who can't hold much.
Tiny little hands, can't even hold, you barely hold that lemonade bottle.
Exactly. And then there's like audiobooks, and you can listen to someone just like make the story come alive in your ears. I remember one time I was like laying on my floor. I had this like weird Hannah Montana speaker pillow, and I just put the entirety of the first Harry Potter book on it, and I just laid down and listened to it, and it was fantastic.
And how lovely is that?
It's great. And then there's like there's graphic novels and comic books, and there's so many different kinds of books, and they're all amazing. And because of that variety, it's one of those things where I really hope that everyone can find some way to get these wonderful stories into their brains.
Beautiful. Step 2, finding your books. As with anything in this age, you can do the majority of your research online. You can simply type in your preferences into Google and scroll through the results. Or you can visit Goodreads, a website for book lovers that helps you find books you want to read and track books you have read. Also, don't be afraid to use social media to find out what to read next, especially if you're friends with some bookworms. You can even get a book rec from your old high school teacher who you are, for some reason, friends with on Facebook. Thanks, Mark Zuckerberg. Just kidding, Mark Zuckerberg. You suck. If you're having trouble finding something that you think you'll like, visit your local library or bookstore and ask an employee for help. Booksellers and librarians are always ready to help you find your next great read. If you still don't know what you're looking for, check on out the staff's picks at a bookstore. These will often include a description of the book and staff members who selected it. I'm also going to give a list of my favorites at the end of the podcast, because I, A, want you to read some good books, and B, really want to promote my favorite authors on this podcast. Another thing you can do is ask your friends. Like my friend Erica, who's here to tell me a little bit more about their reading preferences. Do it, promote it at the end, plug yourself.
I will not. Hi everyone, some of my favorite books are satire books. I really enjoy satire because it's a really, really cool way of looking at different problems in society, and it kind of helps the way satire is structured. It helps you kind of see situations and understand things that you may have not been able to understand before while you're still laughing very, very hard because they're very, very funny. So two of my favorite satire authors are Terry Pratchett and Douglas Adams. You may have heard of either of them, particularly Douglas Adams. His Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series is incredibly popular because it is incredibly good.
It's a good one. I'm going to second that. It's a good one.
Exactly. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a science fiction satire specifically, and it basically follows basically the everyman archetype of a character named Arthur Dent, as he is suddenly thrust into the realization that there are other planets as the Earth is demolished to build a hyperspace byway, which is super fun. The entire thing is just, there's both things about the sci-fi genre itself, as well as really clever looks at different things in our society, frequently through the lens of different science fiction things. There's Arthur Dent, as I mentioned, who's the everyman character. There's his friend, who turns out to be an alien Ford prefect. There's the robot that basically has clinical depression, Marvin. There's the two-headed president of the galaxy, Zaphod Beeblebrox. They're all, and even more characters, so many scenarios. It's, I have never laughed harder than reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and reading sentences like, the ships hung in the air in much the same way that bricks don't.
And listeners, Erica's laugh is really something to behold.
There we go. Thank you. And then the other author I mentioned is Terry Pratchett. His main work... Oh, sorry, going back to Douglas Adams. Hitchhikers is his most famous, but he has a bunch of different books. He has a Dirk Gently Holistic Detectives series that's very good. He also has a book on endangered species that he wrote with an environmentalist that is incredibly, incredibly good.
What's the name of that?
That is called Last Chance to See. And if you want to watch him do an hour and a half TED Talk on it, ooh, that one is called Parrots, the Universe, and Everything.
Okay.
And it is incredible, and it's so powerful and so moving, and also just so funny and amazing, and I love him.
I'm adding that to my Goodreads right now.
Incredible. I love it. And so, but yeah, so like anytime I mention an author, they're going, like even their most famous one, there's also going to be other things they've probably written that are also fantastic. And then the other author I mentioned was Terry Pratchett. He is also a satirist. His main series is Discworld, which is more fantasy satire. And Discworld is a flat disc world, as you may have thought, that sits on top of four elephants, and those four elephants sit on top of a giant turtle flying through space called the Great Atuin. So, like... that's already, like, the coolest thing ever.
So what else do we need to know? Nothing. We're all reading it immediately.
Big mood. Discworld is a series of 41 books, so you have a lot of different ways to do it. And the great thing about Discworld is when I went through and I read them in the order that they were published, which is totally fine. But there's also, there are standalone books, you can just pick up, like, moving pictures, and you don't need to know anything else about the world, and it's a great satire of Hollywood and the movie industry. Or you can go through arcs. There's an arc about Rincewind, who is a wizard who runs away from things, and things still find him eventually. There's a beautiful, wonderful arc that's the Watchman arc, which is basically the captain of the watch learning how to be progressive and learn how to not be a bigot and learn how to actually help his city rather than just kind of enforcing laws for law's sake. It's incredible, and it's such a good view on our society. There's an arc with Death as a character. Death as a character in this book has been done in a lot of other books. Death from Discworld is one of my favorite characters in literature. He is serious, but also not at the same time. He speaks in all capital letters, and if you think that doesn't make sense, come read Discworld. It's a good time. There's a lot of books about feminism and the idea of all kinds of different social issues and ideas. And again, they're so, so deep and wonderful, but they're also hysterically funny. In the first book called Color of Magic, someone is asking about another character, and the way that character is described is, if chaos was lightning, this character would stand on top of a hill during a thunderstorm, wearing wet copper armor, screaming, "All gods are bastards." And that's just one of the best descriptions I've ever heard. And just like with Adams, Terry Pratchett has this incredibly good Discworld series, but he also has a lot of other books. He has the Bromeliad trilogy, which made me cry. He has books. He has one-shot books on Dodger, which is a play off the Artful Dodger from Charles Dickens. He has all kinds of other books, and just everything I've read of his has been incredible. As you can probably tell, I very much like satire, and Douglas Adams and Terry Pratchett are some of my favorite satirists.
Well, thank you so much for those book recommendations. I will put them in the link below for all you readers. Thank you so much, Erica.
Thank you.
All right, step three, choosing your medium. All right, guys, let's absolutely drop the idea that the only way to read is to sit down with some chunky, dusty book in front of a massive fire and read for hours on end. This isn't realistic, and it is not the only way to consume literature. There's so many ways to consume good books. There's e-readers, there's audiobooks, comic books, graphic novels, a million things. Audiobooks, for instance, can take some getting used to, but are super helpful and fun for those who spend a lot of time traveling or driving to and from places. Comic books and graphic novels are wildly stigmatized in today's culture and are often regarded as only for kids or non-serious readers. This is not the case. Graphic novels are actually super cool for portraying messages through both images and words, and can be just as detailed and complicated as regular novels. Stay tuned to the end to hear my graphic novel recommendations. This step is incredibly important, so spend some time thinking about how you want to read, whether it's setting aside time in your schedule to read a novel or learning how to use audiobooks so you can listen on the go. Think about your schedule and your needs and determine how you want to consume your literature. Yes, Erica. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, a thing I've definitely noticed both with myself and with my friends is different mediums of books can also help you for other reasons as well. Like, I have ADHD, so like sometimes I can sit down and just read a straight textbook, but sometimes listening is easier. Sometimes things with pictures or images that connect me to will make it easier. I have friends who have difficulty reading things because of dyslexia or other things when they're reading text, but if they put in an audiobook, they're able to get the story as well. So not only for like preferences with traveling and everything, but also think about that. If you like you've known all your life that you have trouble reading, but you know you're better with listening, audiobooks might be a great thing for you.
And I think also it's you know, there's this idea that there's a high literature and that you have to be educated in order to dissect it. And while that's not necessarily the case, some people don't have they're not allowed the time to sit down with a Shakespeare book for 4 hours and dissect it. So when you relieve yourself of these pressures and just enjoy literature for whatever it is, you're going to get more out of it instead of forcing yourself into a medium or a genre that you think you should be reading.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Electric Boogaloo.
Okay. Step 4, resources. I've mentioned Goodreads before in this podcast, which is a huge lifesaver for readers. Goodreads is a website that allows you to track what you've read, what you want to read, and what you're currently reading. It's a great place to get recommendations and keep track of all the books you've loved. It can also connect to Facebook and allow you to interact with books your friends and family are reading. I also recommend looking for books at local bookstores. Prices are usually cheaper on Amazon, but local bookstores do more to enhance readership and relationships between authors and local towns. If you don't have a bookstore near you or can't afford the prices, check out thriftbooks.com. It sells used books at amazing prices, and shipping is free for orders over $10. It's an amazing website that has saved me probably hundreds of dollars during my undergrad career as an English major and just as a human who loves books. For audiobooks, I recommend Audible. It partners with Amazon Prime and has a ton of free and cheap audiobooks. There's also Scribd, Google Play Books, Apple Books, Libby, and many more. But just spend some time trying different audiobook sources and see which ones work best for you. Ask friends, you know, Google it. You can figure it out. But it's just about figuring out what works best for you and what you are most comfortable with. And if you want the convenience of an audiobook but still want a visual, I recommend getting an e-reader like a Kindle or Nook. Nooks are connected to Barnes & Noble, while Kindles are the Amazon e-reader. Both allow for thousands of books stored on a slim and portable screen. Anyone traveling a lot should definitely check out one of these. They are worth the price and they're so convenient. If you do get an e-reader, check with your local library to see if they have an e-book checkout system. Most libraries do, and they work with Kindle or Libby to provide e-books for patrons for free. Also, if you have a computer, especially the Mac, but I'm assuming the PCs, I don't know. Do you have a PC, Erica?
I have a Mac.
Okay, so there are Kindle apps, and usually you can download those on your computer. Then you don't have to buy anything new, and you can just have it right there on your screen to read when you're supposed to be working. Okay, step 5, setting a time. So they say it only takes 22 days to form a habit. Once you set aside a particular time in your day or in your schedule to read, even if it's for a short amount of time, simply repeat this habit daily will help you read more. This is something that you'll have to figure out for yourself. Take a few days to try out different methods. Maybe this means getting a graphic novel and reading it during your lunch break. Maybe this means downloading an audiobook and listening on your morning run. Or maybe it means just cutting down on social media time and using that hour to read. Try a couple different methods, figure out what works best for you, and stick to it for 1 month. Erica, how do you read? You're a busy college student.
I sure am. I definitely do the thing of like, I know that I'm going to stay up. So if I'm going to stay up anyway, I might as well like read something instead of just like scrolling social media forever. Because like I will never try to demonize social media. It's been incredibly helpful for me in a lot of ways. But also, it's good to have a variety of things that you're doing.
Right. And for those of you who are reading books as opposed to e-readers or audiobooks, there's quite a few studies saying that the light of the screen tricks your brain into thinking it's not bedtime. So sitting down just with the paper allows your eyes to relax. Yeah. And then also, obviously, if you're listening to an audiobook, then that, I don't know, it kind of lulls you to sleep. I mean, I'm sure right now, listening to this podcast, you guys are a little sleepy. It's calming. It puts you into a good mood for sleep, has been my experience.
Yeah. And at least with Kindles, I'm not sure about Nooks, just because I own a Kindle.
Right.
The way that they have the words on the screen mimics a print book rather than a screen, so it doesn't do the same thing
exactly.
With glare that screens do.
Yes. My Kindle's actually not backlit, so I've never had
mine
the issue.
Mine isn't either.
And it's... I like it, but I mean, I understand the major convenience is to having a backlit, but mine is just basically just a book. But you know, if a book like had sex with a robot or something, I don't know. I'm gonna not put that in the podcast. Step number 6, no pressure. The most important thing to consider is that there's absolutely no pressure to read. While I agree that reading is important and can be extremely beneficial, it is not the only way to learn and grow as an intellectual. Don't be afraid to stick to your own forms of entertainment and learning, like videos or podcasts. But while it's great that you are trying to read more, it's also important to note that this isn't an undergraduate literature course. You are not required to read in order to be an educated and well-rounded person. That being said, reading is dope, and I love it. And I love that you want to read more. A lot of the methods and media that I suggested earlier are stigmatized in our culture for arbitrary reasons, but don't let those get you down. Read what you want, and read what you enjoy, and let reading be a refuge for you. And now I'm going to have Erica speak a little bit more about maybe the most stigmatized form of reading.
I mean, I don't want to get into, like, stigmatizing Olympics here, because that's no fun. No. We're not going to sit here and, like, fight when we should all come together as one. But what I'm talking about is fan fiction, which you may or may not have heard of. It's kind of seen more visibility in the past couple of years.
If you were on Tumblr in 2013, you've heard of it.
This is fair.
You've probably written it.
Yeah. And the thing about fanfiction is a lot of people are like, oh, it's not real literature because it's based off of other works of media, or frequently it is associated with sex or the idea, or like just romance without any plot, sex without any plot, any of that.
If I may interject, you know, there's the thing about fanfiction is that it's not new. I mean, Narnia is biblical fanfiction, right?
Yes, and we've been having zines and fanfiction since at like the 60s. Like, if you've heard of, like, Star Trek, you know, like, that big, huge franchise, when that started out, that show was kept on air by fans, particularly women fans, writing in and keeping it on, and they did zines, they traded fan fictions through the ways they could, because obviously the internet wasn't really a thing.
Right.
But, like fan interaction with media, like, fan fiction, fan art, cosplay has been a really like backbone of a lot of fan communities since mid 20th century and before then. Like Madison said, Narnia is basically biblical fan fiction, but and like you could basically say like Shakespeare's like, oh, I'm gonna take this like famous story right. and write a play about it. Like that's the same thing. And
Dr. Faustus is fan fiction of the devil. It's like
exactly.
You know, everything's fan fiction.
And like the Renaissance, like everything was a lot of art was about the Bible, and they're not saying, oh, you're copying the Bible. Right. That's not any good. So that's a thing. But like the
Fifty Shades of Grey is Twilight fan fiction.
It is.
I'm not advocating for 50 Shades.
Yeah.
But it's popular and successful.
Exactly. And, like, the thing with 50 Shades, like, the problem with it is because it shows its very unhealthy relationship right. practices, not yeah. because it's fan fiction.
No, right.
So, like, no, I totally get you.
Yes,
I love
yes. That's a high five, listeners.
So, the thing about fan fiction, though, that I found is that it allows people, like I said, to interact with their media and to see themselves and the things they want to see in media that may not necessarily be being shown. So I know fan fiction has been used by women a lot to, like, actually see women characters that feel
right.
strong and three-dimensional and do things without feeling like they're looking through the men's gaze. I know it's used
right.
a lot by people of color because the media industry is racist as shit.
Right.
And they're like, ah, we're gonna have one person of color and then kill them. And it's
yeah.
like, that's no fun.
Game of Thrones, but that's fine.
You know, it's fine. And so they get to write stories where they're seen and they're described in respectful ways and they get to be three-dimensional. They're not just
right.
cast to the side in sidekick and villain roles. And queer people get to write stories where they are seen, where they get to have loving, incredible relationships, where they are all three-dimensional, where they don't get killed at the end for dramatic purposes and to make straight people cry. Which is a bit, like, all of these things. So, like, I've seen a lot of these communities and other ones, like, disabled communities, mentally ill communities, all these different, like, marginalized communities get to come, and both readers get to read and writers get to write these stories and get to see them, and they're accessible through this thing. You may have heard about Archive of Our Own and its parent company, Transformative Works, being nominated for a Hugo this year.
Oh, nice! I didn't
yeah.
know that. That's
yeah.
awesome.
And, like, I write fanfiction. I, of course, like to joke that it, like, every fanfiction one is getting nominated for a Hugo because those are funny jokes. But the real reason is that AO3 has, like, a tagging system that, like, rivals many professional libraries and servers because
right.
basically it's created the system where people are able to tag by fandom, by character, by trope. So, like, different things like, ah, there's only one bed, you know, that fun story? You can, like, tag by that and find that. You can they have a thing there called archive warnings where there's, I believe there's six main, like, archive warnings, and they're things like major character death, major gore and violence, stuff like that. And so that way, it's a kind of thing where, like, especially with major character death and things like that, if you tag that, that could be a spoiler for your fic. Mm-hmm. But also you want to warn people because we care about people and we're not going to be dicks and just make them read something that'll make them uncomfortable if they don't want to.
Right.
So there's a way to do that where those six specific warnings are what are called archive warnings. Mm-hmm. And when you write your fic, you can either say that no archive warnings apply. You can tag as many or as few archive warnings as you want right off the bat. Or you can do something that's called creator chose not to use archive warnings. And that last one is so that you can say, hey, one of these things might be happening, but I don't want to say which one because it'll spoil it. Or sometimes because I just don't know where the story is going, I don't want you getting invested in case I decide to go this route. And so that way, that that along with content warnings in the regular tags themselves, provide a way for people to curate the content they want to see and not be kind of thrown out of the blue if they're reading something and it's like, oh, here's spiders if you have arachnophobia or something like that.
Right. So, long story short, fan fiction is accessible. It allows people to have a space that they don't have in regular life.
Absolutely.
And it's good. And if anything, it just allows people to write. And we love that.
It's great.
Exactly. Okay, awesome. All right. Okay, guys, that's about all the advice I have for you. I'm going to give you some quick book recommendations, plug them into Google, search Goodreads for them, and then you'll be on your merry, merry way. Merry, merry way. Okay. I'm not going to edit that. Okay, so here are my books.
My favorite podcast trope is, hey, edit that out, and it does not get edited out.
I know. My brother and me does it all
yes,
the time.
They're like, the bam bam.
You can go, bam bam. Bam. They always go, all right, we're going to edit that out in post, and then you hear it, and then it's just, they don't do it. And neither will I. That's camp, Erica.
It's camp.
That's camp.
It's camp.
All right, guys, here are some book recommendations. So, my favorite short stories are the following: Paper Menagerie, The Ones Who Walk Away from Omelas, The Lottery, and A Jury of Her Peers. For books that have made me cry, we have The Kite Runner, The Goldfinch, A Thousand Splendid Suns, and The Mountains Echoed, The Book Thief, and All the Light You Cannot See. Some non-white books, okay, we need them. Homegoing, Everything I Never Told You, Battle Royale, Crazy Rich Asians, Little Fires Everywhere, 1Q84, that's a long one, and One Child. And then there are also a million more. Just Google it, guys. Some dumb tween romances that I love.
Yes.
Anna and the French Kiss is so good. It's so stupid, guys. I love it to death. High Society, Eleanor and Park. Eleanor and Park said nothing. It's fine. Some of my favorite memoirs are Yes, Please, Modern Romance, Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me, Bossy Pants, Furiously Happy, Wild, The Glass Castle, and A Tree Grows. Although I think A Tree Grows in Brooklyn is a novel, so don't put that in. Thrillers, Gone Girl, The Girl on the Train, The Lovely Bones, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is a great series. It's a little problematic, but I think it's good. The Kind Worth Killing, I have not read that, but I have had maybe 50 people tell me it's a good book and worth reading, so I'm including it. Some random books that I've liked throughout my life: The Thief Lord, I read that in the 7th grade, and I have not, I remember the exact couch I read it, what I was eating and wearing when I read it. I just sat down one weekend. I think it took me like 12 hours to read that book. So good. There's also a movie. Where'd You Go, Bernadette? About a Boy, Homegoing, which I already wrote, but I'm going to write it twice because it's one of my favorite books. Orcs and Crake by Margaret Atwood. She wrote The Handmaid's Tale. Me Before You, I cried 4 times. Coraline is one of the best kids' books ever. It's by Neil Gaiman. So good. Classics worth the time: East of Eden by John Steinbeck, Fahrenheit 451, Murder on the Orient Express, The Bell Jar, Beloved, and Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. That's not a classic, but it is a classic to me. Some good poetry is Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman, The Essential Rumi, No Matter the Wreckage by Sarah Kay, Everyone's an Alibed When You're an Alibed Too by Johnny Sun. I don't know how to pronounce that. Egghead by Bo Burnham. Some fun graphic novels include Fun Home, American Born Chinese, This One Summer, El Defo, and Persepolis. Thank you guys so much for listening. I know it's hard to find time to read within your schedule, but I hope that this podcast helped a little bit. Once again, this is Madison. Thanks for joining me. I hope you had fun and use this to succeed in your reading career. Be sure to check the description below for the book recommendations. Thanks all, folks. Nope, that's all, folks. Happy reading. I'm not editing that out.